epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, welcome back. 4 o'clock hour, The Drive. You've heard from Josh Briscoe. Now it's time to hear from another Josh. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, live from Kauffman Stadium in Vern's little booth. Vern actually has a broadcast booth that says Vern's booth. It's very cool. Vern's been all sorts of places. Out in the trailer, gate A, left field. He's been up at Craft and Draft. He's been on the media floor where there's a studio. Vern's been everywhere. But anyway, we're going to Vern's booth. Hi, Vern.
Welcome into the booth, Pink. What's going on, buddy?
No, it's good, man. It's perfect, man. People can walk by and flip you off or cheer you or whatever they want.
Hey, did I tell you? I didn't tell you this story. So it's the last homestand. Royals finally winning at home. And after one of the wins, this woman comes up to me, comes up to the window, and drunkenly says, I was going to drop my slang for breasts.
Boobs.
Nah, even more slang than that. She says, I was going to drop by meh, but my boyfriend won't let me. And I look out the window, and there's this dude standing to the right of the window with his head down because his drunk girlfriend was about to expose her breasts to your boy right before the postgame show. So thankfully, for her sake and her future coming to Kauffman Stadium, she kept her shirt on.
Well, that would have been rough for the lineups, right? Like, if you're going straight to the lineup and these boobs are pressed up against the window.
Yeah, right. Especially if someone in the lineup has a first name like Bob or something, because that could have easily turned into Booby Witt Jr., just a Freudian slip there.
Well, Vern, we have, I called it earlier. I know I've, through the years, I'll tell you that, man, I think this series is huge. It might be in May or June. I'm like, man, it's the biggest of the year, things like that. I'll throw it out and you'll poo-poo it and whatever, Bingley, don't be dumb. But I'm telling you, man, this Cleveland Royals series, man, being 6 games out from the trade deadline, kind of figuring out what you are. This team's been on fire, at least hitting-wise, since the All-Star break. 12 home runs. They did drop 2 of 3 to the Marlins, but 2 of 3 they won from the Cubs. Been a different team, and you've got a division rival in here that sits ahead of you now. And obviously, if Cleveland sweeps them, you know, start the fat lady singing at that point.
Sure,
but
sure.
If they do well against Cleveland, 2 of 3 or 3 of 3, things are much different as you go into the trade deadline. That's why I look at this series, as I'll be honest with you, I think it's the biggest of the year.
Yeah, and then the Braves series will be the biggest of the year following that. Royals have to win, period. I really don't care who's in the other dugout. They could be playing the Chicago White Sox right now and they would need to win the series, because you look at the teams that are ahead of them as they sit 4.5 games back of that final wild card spot. Red Sox, Rays, Rangers, and Guardians. Other than the Rangers, all those other teams have handled you this season. You've lost 2 series to the Guardians. Royals can only lose 2 more times to this Cleveland team if they have any hopes of winning the season series, of having that tiebreaker with Cleveland, right? We need to start focusing on those tiebreakers. The Rays and the Royals, and even 3-3 this season. Royals dropped the series to the Red Sox, so they're going to need to even that up when they go to Fenway next weekend. And when you're knotted up like they are with the Rays and like they could be with the Red Sox, the next tiebreaker is your inner division record. So how do the Royals do against the American League Central? So again, they need to beat up on the White Sox. They need to beat up on the Twins, or else they're going to lose the head-to-head matchup or the tiebreaker. They're going to lose that to the Rays, to the Red Sox. They're going to lose that to the Guardians. And listen, I'd love to think that the Royals can get red hot. But even if they do get red hot, they still need some help. They need the Rays and the Rangers. They need the Red Sox and the Guardians to either get banged up or come back down to earth. The Royals don't control their fate anymore. So whoever's in that other dugout, it's a huge series. Now, Cleveland in particular, there's no arguing the importance of this series when you drop the first two to the division rival and they kind of owned you in those first two games, both on the field and, between the ears. Royals never really retaliated for Emmanuel Clase going up and in to Jonathan India. Big series, no doubt about it. But listen, once they lost that series to the Mets prior to the All-Star break, I'm not going to say I'm waving the white flag, but I now acknowledge that the Royals don't control their own fate, that they've bungled enough of these home series and even the road series, right? Dropping a series to the Marlins, dropping a series to the White Sox. They've fumbled the bag so much where I have no reason to believe that they can get red hot down the stretch. But I will admit, if you don't win this series against Cleveland, I don't know how anyone has any hope for this team down the stretch. The math just doesn't work out. You either take two of three and stay alive. Now, if you sweep, okay, you could feel real good because you leapfrog the Guardians then in the standings. But if you lose this series, even the most diehard optimistic Royals fan, you're just going to sound like a pie-in-the-sky wacko after this series.
I tell you what, Vernon, in professional sports, you always want that part that's elite, right? In the NFL, you want that elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, this team does have an elite pitching staff, and that's with Reagan's not, doing his thing. Lorenzen hurt now, too. They're number two in all of baseball. They're number two in the American League. That's ridiculous. That is a pitching staff. They get to the postseason, look out, because that pitching staff's good enough to do it, but you got to have the hitting. Then that's the problem. You got to be good at both. And I look at this team and these starters in the ERA and just what they've been able to accomplish, and you keep waiting for that hitting to come around, and you sit there to watch every night, and you're just so frustrated because you see how damn good this pitching staff is for the Royals. And, just get to the dance. I mean, the Rangers and Diamondbacks proved that 2 years ago. Both of them are wild card teams. The Rangers were the second wild card team, just one game removed from the third wild card team, and the Diamondbacks were the third wild card team. So just get to the dance. Those teams represented for all the marbles. But this pitching staff is so good. Is it the Lugo thing is really interesting to me, because obviously I saw Mikel's name being tossed around today to the Yankees or whatever, and they traded for Ryan McMahon of the Rockies, so they're fine on that, so he's staying. But the Lugo thing is interesting to me, because what kind of haul can you get back, and are you willing? Because I see it as a white flag move. You do that, but these teammates, those guys in the locker room don't want that, man. Vinny and them talking about keeping Lugo, they do not want that. So you're sending a message to you're sending a message to your fans and especially the players as well. But if they do well against Cleveland, is there a way that he stays on this team, or are they still going to move him?
Well, I think you have to move him regardless of what happens against Cleveland or what happens against Atlanta. Now, you don't need to give him away for nothing, because, sure, you could offer him the qualifying offer this offseason, a one-year offer worth more than $21 million. I think he'll get more than that on the open market, so he'll decline that, but when he signs elsewhere, the Royals could nab an additional second-round or third-round pick. I think the Royals can get more than a second-round pick in return for Seth Lugo at the deadline. Now, if they can't, right? If the calls that J.J. Piccolo's fielding for Seth Lugo as we approach Thursday's deadline, if he's not impressed, if he values a second or third-round pick more than whatever these teams are offering, no, I'm not saying give Seth Lugo away for pennies on the dollar. No, I want more than a dollar's worth for Seth Lugo. I want someone that can help this team in 2026, right? You talk about the Chicago Cubs and their outfield prospects at the AAA level. You know, I want something that can help this team in 26 and 27, something that if it was available with the, you know, 61st overall pick, all right, a second round selection, obviously I would take that dude. I think that offer will come. And when that offer comes, I expect the Royals to pull the trigger. Now, I don't disagree. It's a white flag. But, you know, so be it. Again, we have 103 games of evidence. The Royals, statistically, record-wise, are a below-average team. On the bases, they're one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. Offensively, they're one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. Now, if you want to tell me that the six games we've seen since the All-Star break is what we're going to watch over the course of the final 59, okay, I don't know why you believe that, because within those six games, there's also a shutout. There's also a game in which they were held to one run against Cal Quantrill of the Miami Marlins. I got 103 games of evidence, and that evidence says this is a below-average team. So when I look at Seth Lugo, if I can turn him into something more than a second-round pick, I'm doing it, because you're not going to sign him this offseason. I don't believe you're going to sign him. Because again, you sure, offer him that one-year $21 million offer. I think he turns it down because I think someone will offer him 2 years. I think someone could give him a contract even better than the one that the Royals gave Michael Wacha a season ago. And keep that in mind, that they're already going to have a mid-30s right-hander on their team next year and the year after that. Wacha do $18 million next year, $14 million in 2027. I don't know how many 36-year-old right-handers I want in my rotation come 2027. Now, for those that, you know, Vernier, shut up, I still want Lugo back. Okay. Well, then that means you're trading Chris Bubich this offseason, because you're not signing both of those guys. Preferably, if it's up to me, I would rather sign Chris Bubich to a long-term deal this offseason than I would a 2-3-year deal for Seth Lugo.
Interesting stuff. Vern, what about what's going on with Perez, man? This team, 12 home runs since the All-Star break as a team. Sal Perez in his last 13 games has 9 home runs. In the last 13 games, he's got 19 hits. Summer Salvi, man. But, I mean, it's been incredible watching this dude.
Yeah, a few days off for the All-Star break. He's back in Florida getting some rest and relaxation. It's no surprise that the 35-year-old is performing well. Of course, it's a surprise that he's putting up those numbers that you just repeated. But you know what? Even as I say that, you know, Salvi was so subpar for the first 2.5 months of the season. For a player his caliber, you have to think that that's going to be offset by a hot stretch. You don't become a guy that many just refer to as a future Hall of Famer. And I'm not just talking about Royals fans, but baseball men and women across the country refer to Salvi as a future Hall of Famer. That doesn't just go away. Now, it's not going to be present for all 162 games for the rest of his career, but having a 3-week, 1-month stretch like this for a player of that caliber that puts in that amount of work, that takes that kind of pride, that holds himself to that type of a standard, no, none of us should be surprised, the same way none of us should have been surprised when Travis Kelce turned it on a season ago. The greats are the greats for a reason, and sure, Father Time is undefeated, but that greatness is always inside there, and it's going to show itself on occasion, no doubt about it.
Talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, live from Vern's booth at Kauffman Stadium, the best in the business, Josh Vernier. All right, final question for you, Josh. We saw Rich Hill pitch the other day, 45 years old. When the players did that thing where they can put whatever they want on the back of their jerseys, they put their nicknames or whatever, He had D period Mountain, which we know what that was, on the back of his jersey. Have you ever, I mean ever, seen a better jersey than that? Because I now know what jersey I will get. And I don't buy jerseys very often. I will get that one.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's of age, too. It's, to me, always easier to buy a jersey of someone that's older than you.
He's
a better
than me,
jersey,
though.
Yeah, I was trying to make you feel good there. A better jersey than D Mountain. No. But I also wouldn't, I don't think you'll rock that. Maybe unless you wear it to the Flow Rida concert.
Oh,
I
would rock
that.
The D Mountain jersey, man.
Really?
Oh yeah.
But then it looks like you're searching for D Mountain. Like
no.
Like that's what you're desirous of. I don't know. What do I know?
Oh, Verd, shut up.
Jay Binkley searching for.
Oh no! You should represent what you are wearing. Never mind.
But that means you're a mountain of them?
No.
Seems oh, like man. Too many.
Oh, man. I hope there's not a rain delay, Vern. Keep the rain
well,
away.
You're the weather guy. You let the people know.
Oh, it didn't look great.
No, I agree. But
it didn't look great. Of course, I didn't think it was going to rain and win an hour and a half rain delay for the Mets game on Friday night. So what do I
know? You're not that good when it comes to weather. No, stick to football, Binkley.
I used to be.
Isn't that what the text line
says?
And
Dusty Likens' bad radar that he had.
Yeah.
Regardless. Anyway, thanks, Vern.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, right there. I always like talking. I got a little off the rails there at the end. Little off the rails with
little?
Vern. Did you hear that when he first came on, he was talking about getting flashed. Almost got flashed in his Vern's little booth. That would have screwed up his lineups, huh? Regardless, we'll go back to the Kansas City Chiefs and why I feel that this roster is better than last year's.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton producing the operation. Royals, Cleveland, tonight at the K. Vern's On Deck show comes your way at 6 o'clock. Hopefully there's no rain delay. Rob, I mean, you never know. Can't see weather. It could be cloudy. Blows away. Doesn't rain. Maybe it does. I don't know. It's too hard to predict weather in this town anymore. Maybe it rains on the north side. Maybe on the south side. Maybe it leaves the stadiums wide open. Just never know. I was shocked, like I said, about the Mets being delayed.
Had you gone in? I know you were going to that game.
Did I go into?
Like, were you already in the stadium when they did call the delay?
I was there. Because I was going to wait it out. There's a few sprinkles. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then all of a sudden, just boom.
I always feel bad for fans when, like, they call the rain delays late. Or like a definitely a postponement, but delay. It's like, all right, you know, a Friday night game, too. Hey, I'm in the parking lot, had a few drinks with friends. I'm going to head in right before first pitch. Give me that alert so that I'm not through the gate standing there watching the tarp on the field paying $16 for a Bush Light and another $12 for a hot dog. Let me hang out in my car. Let me chill out there. Like, I always get frustrated when teams, and not just the Royals, call these rain delays so late. Like, get ahead of it. Don't be behind it.
Yeah, at least it did rain. Because what you hate is when they call a rain delay, it doesn't do anything.
Oh, then you're just sitting out there staring at radar, yeah.
Yeah. But hour and a half, I mean, I guess it went kind of fast. You're wanting to see the Mets. They got to get this game in. Mets did just fly in, you know, late that night, got in there. They got to get the series in. So, went down there playing the Mets at the Cave this year. Well, you know, the Mets just came off a doubleheader. They played a doubleheader against Baltimore. They're not going to do it again. But then they had another delay for just a little bit on Sunday. Remember, there was a delay Sunday for like half an hour. It wasn't a very long delay, but it was a bit of one. But you just never know what you're going to get out there. But I don't know. I don't know. Text line 913-586-7965. That's Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Is it raining in your area? And hopefully not. Hopefully they get this in, because I'm looking forward to this series. I'm really looking forward to. And, of course, they'll find a way. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Cleveland. Then you get the Braves. And then you have the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. But the Kansas City Chiefs, someone asked me the other day, they said, what do you think of the Chiefs? What do you think of this roster? And, you know, 15 wins last year. They go to the Super Bowl, AFC champions. We know what happened against the Eagles. Regardless, they still won 15 games. They won the division by 4 games. It was the only division in the AFC that had 3 playoff teams. Very impressive. Chiefs rack up their 9th straight AFC West title. The rest is history. How can this roster be better? They didn't go out and make elaborate moves and stuff in free agency. You know, Christian Fulton, the Jalen Moore, that's what you bring in here. Going to be relying on some draft picks, not necessarily starters. I don't see many starters out of this draft class, to be honest with you. Maybe Josh Simmons, if he's ready to roll. Noel Williams, I think, has a chance. I think at least by week 5, Noel Williams could be a starter, even though the corner they draft out of the Cal, even though he got some first-team reps today in practice, because Fulton's obviously been out on the pup list at this point, so Noel Williams kind of got his chance. But top to bottom, yeah, granted, guys get older. You have to take that into account. One more year older, guys fall off the cliff. Well, just look at Kelsey. And I'm not buying into the old best shape of your life and all that stuff, but he is in better shape this camp than he was last year. What do you think about that, Rob? Because you know, you've had your opinions on Kelsey and whatever, but he looks better, doesn't he?
He does. And we talked about the other day on the show. They're not going to call it this because it's cliche and it's been used. But I think him showing up to camp and winning conditioning tests and being in fantastic physical condition, and you've heard him on his podcast and on other media platforms talk about how he has to be better in 2025 than he was in 2024, whether that's being a teammate or Purdue, whatever it is. There's like a feel to me of a little bit of last dance type of energy. It's like I don't think he wants to go out as, you know, the 8th best tight end in the NFL, putting up 600 some odd yards and, you know, being sluggish throughout. I don't think that's the way Travis Kelce wants to go out. I think he wants to go out as on top as possible, both in his individual performance and in his team performance. So I think you're seeing himself go all in on one last push, and it's not a negative. I mean, he's a 35-year-old tight end. It does have a little last dance, last run, one last hurrah type of energy, because it feels like he's gearing up for one last season.
I agree. Do you feel that had they won that game against the Eagles, did you feel that he might have retired at that point? Like, so much stuff off the field to do, whatever. Does he retire at that point?
Yes.
Or does he come back and try to get the 4th in a row?
I think if they had won, the odds of him retiring would have gone up. I mean, we talked about it a lot on the show, and it was widely reported. He really seemed, based on, you know, reports you see in conversations,
oh, yeah,
the idea of retiring really weighed heavy on him last offseason. This wasn't just like, you know, I thought about it, but I got more football in me, let's get back to work. It was something that he really considered. There's probably a cut in the folder if I search for it. Nate Taylor talked about how the team said, hey, take your time, but on blank date, we need an answer. And they were coming up to that deadline. They didn't know yet. The team didn't know yet. So I think Travis Kelce really, really, really sat down and contemplated his football future. So if we change the variables and we say, hey, he had won and he walks out a winner in the confetti and he's celebrating with his world famous girlfriend again, a 3-peat champion, I could see it maybe pivoting the other direction. It didn't go that way, and we'll see what happens this year. But I think that it would have been more possible that he retired if they had won, because of just how seriously I believe he contemplated retirement regardless of the outcome of that game.
Well, I know he busted his ass training for the season. He's down in Florida doing all the things right. I mean, he has lost weight, whether it's 25 pounds or not, whether you want to believe it, but it is different. But not only that, it shows dedication too, because remember mini camps? Remember he was in France promoting something the day before, and he showed up the next day to Chiefs camp, right? Like, he flew over all night, you know, from France, and ended up, and I was like, all right, this guy's dedicated. This guy's dedicated. He showed up to that stuff. You know, he's dedicated. There's a little bit of revenge factor on these Chiefs' mind. Not a little bit. There's a lot of bit as far as revenge factor on the mind for the Chiefs and getting things done this year. It didn't set well with him. And I remember after that Buccaneers Super Bowl loss, you know, Kelsey's one of those guys, they asked him point blank after the game, is the season a success or not? And he said no. Like, beforehand, any Chief that made the Super Bowl or someone say, oh, no, it's a season of success, made the Super Bowl and all that. But they had the mindset that, because they'd already won one, that no, it wasn't a success because the way they lost. And I felt they all felt that way after the Eagles game. To be honest with you, when this series comes out on ESPN, the six-part docuseries, it'll be two episodes a night per week for 3 weeks, that's going to be a constant reminder. That's going to be a constant reminder of how it ended. You know, it's like watching the Titanic. You know, the boat sinks at the end and you still watch it. Well, we know how the Super Bowl ends with the Chiefs and Eagles because they had that film crew with them every day. It's not Hard Knocks. That's out in Buffalo right now. They're doing Hard Knocks there, but it's essentially like that because it was in with the Chiefs each and every week. Their home life, the field life, everything. The ESPN crews were there doing that for this Kingdom series that's coming out on ESPN in August. And that'll just serve as fuel to me. It'll serve as fuel of a reminder of how the season ended, the failure of that season going forward for the Chiefs. So the revenge factor, I think, is big. And that's another reason I think the roster's better, because that revenge factor is on their mind. But the other thing, too, is, speaking of Kelsey, obviously part of it, you know, is his roster. Is he looking better than he did last year? He still had 97 catches last year, but the yards after catch way down. And he, to himself, will say that he didn't think he performed to his abilities last year. So I think that's different. Now, as far as the rest of the team, I think they're going to be better off at left tackle. Whether it's Simmons, whether it's Jalen Moore in there, I think it'll be better off. Now, left guard, that's going to be a downgrade. Just is, because Joe Tooney was a first-team All-Pro. That just will. But this defensive line, the rotation, what they did in the draft, Omar Norman Lott, and his ability to get to the quarterback, Eshin Jalati, and the pressures, and, you know, pushing guys like O'Minihue and Karloftis that just got his big deal too, and this defensive line rotation. Nick Bolton, new contract, kind of being an anchor of that defense, working in these defensive backs like Noel Williams from Cal to this team. I look at it as different, man. I look at the running back situation different, because last year you're going Pacheco, he gets hurt, you call up Kareem Hunt, you know, a guy that played here before, was great, but he was on the couch, he didn't go to training camp, so you had to ease him into the system. It's different this year. He's ready to roll. You know, you got Elijah Mitchell, he's hungry for another chance, been hampered and hurt in his career, gets $2.5 million contract with the Chiefs, $1.3 in guarantees. He's hungry and hungry to make this running back room better. Carson Steele's fighting to stay on this roster again. He made the team last year. You got to fight again the next year. He's going to be fighting on getting on. I think this running back room is going to be better than you have Rashard Davis coming in here, the former wide receiver turned running back. You know, he'll be on this team. He will make it. He was a seventh-round pick. I feel probably a fourth or fifth rounder the year before because the running back stock was different. But it's better. I think the running back room is better. I think the wide receiver room is better, knock on wood, with health. I think health makes the biggest difference. If they can stay healthy, we don't. Suspension for Rice. Yeah, it's probably coming. But you know what? He missed most of the year after game four or during game four last year when he got hurt. So he's gone anyway last year. So yeah, I think it's an upgrade because he's not going to miss from between 2 to 6 games. It's probably what it'll be, but it'll be on there. Jalen Royals, nice draft pick. You know, wide receiver. Juju coming back. Another training camp under his belt with the Kansas City Chiefs back. Xavier Worthy took a huge step forward because he came in here as a first-round pick. You know, 4.21 speed guy, and that's how kind of he was labeled, undersized. And, you know, you saw all the criticisms when the Chiefs went that direction. I always liked Xavier Worthy. You know, this guy down in Texas, 3 years in a row, led him in yards and receptions. That didn't happen by accident. That's the University of Texas. He led him in yards and receptions for 3 straight years, and 2 of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns. The year he didn't lead, he was second. He's more than just a vertical or nine route guy. More than that, he can run the route tree. He can do different things. But when he got in here, the pressure was going to be off, right? Because Hollywood Brown's here, same type of guy, Xavier Worthy. Then you have Rashee Rice in the equation. And all of a sudden, you could kind of gradually bring your first round pick, because there's always expectations with the first round pick. But with Xavier Worthy, because they did pass on other receivers to get him. So he had kind of a little bit of pressure because of that. But usually you have that pressure being a first round pick. But he was going to be behind these guys. Then all of a sudden they get hurt. And all of a sudden he had to step up. And it took him a while to get kind of acclimated to what they're doing and learn the offense, and especially the spacing on the sidelines to stay in bounds or not when Mahomes throws the football. So it took a while. But he did it, man. He put his head down. He studied the playbook. He became the guy. He had to be. By necessity, his first-round pick had to grow up and be the guy for a team that's been the back-to-back Super Bowls. That was now on his shoulders. He had to go and do that, and he did. To get to the postseason, leads him in yards and receptions. You know, he became the dude. So having him back this year with those receivers, if they stay healthy, I like the wide receiver room better. I like the tight end room better because I like the steps Noah Gray's been taking. You know, behind Kelsey, I really like the development of Noah Gray. I remember we had a bet a couple years ago. Remember, Rob, I said, well, I think our bet was 12 catches or more for Noah, remember? And that might have been a stretch back then. He didn't end up getting it, by the way. He didn't get it, but that was a stretch. Remember, we talked about expectations and Noah Gray, but now you'd easily say that because he's done that. Jared Wiley's coming back healthy after his injury last year. That's good news. Jake Brittingstool, undrafted. Will he make the team or not? That's the question. Now, punter battle with Matt Araiza. You know, two punters with this team. But yes, I think top to bottom, this roster is better than last year. Then you throw in the intangibles. Then you throw in the embarrassment to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And all these guys will talk about, you know, Leo Chanel talking about, you know, just kind of being down and stuff. And now they get themselves back up and kind of forget about what happened last season. And they've done a good job of kind of pushing it in the wayside and just concentrating on the season. But again, come August 14th, they're going to be reminded all again, because it's not on Comedy Central. It's not, you know, buried on some cable channel you're not watching. It'll be on ESPN. And the rest of the world will get to see the Chiefs' downfall once again in the Super Bowl. And that'll serve as a reminder. And I think that vengeance factor, because Lamar Jackson talked about having revenge this year for the Ravens. They got beat by the Bills in the playoffs. No, revenge is the team that loses the Super Bowl. They're the ones that can say revenge because they were so close to the ultimate prize. They were so close to putting that ring on. They were so close to be the only back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They actually made it there. 15 games they won. They made it back to the Super Bowl. All these things will serve as a reminder. You flip on the TV, and they're talking about the dynasty being done. Hell, I've even heard Mahomes get his criticism nationally. ESPN does their quarterback rating system every year that they don't ask the media. They ask actual executives and front office personnel to rate who the best quarterback in the National Football League is. Yeah, he was still number one, but it went way down. He was 60% now. He's been way higher than that in the past, but he dropped because people are starting to doubt it. And again, he's only 29, turns 30 this year, not even in his quarterback prime yet. We haven't even seen the best of what he can be. He's been damn good to great. He'll be a Hall of Famer for what he's done so far. Well, the 30s are when quarterbacks take off, and he will. He's got 17 playoff wins under his belt heading this team. He can lead them. But not only that, and I think the biggest key is, you keep this coaching staff together. I mean, offensive coordinators, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, that Bieniemy, that stuff doesn't matter. Andy Reid calls the plays. That's what matters. Andy Reid's still here. Number two all-time in postseason coaching wins. Only three behind Belichick. Fourth all-time in coaching wins. Keeping Spags around. Spags with four defensive coordinator Super Bowl rings for doing that. Didn't get that head coaching opportunity. Stayed here. It's got his guy Dave Tobe doing his special teams again. Again, you look at these powerhouses in college football throughout the 80s and 90s, it was these coaches that kept their coaching staffs together, and they've been able to do that. Yeah, they've lost some front office attrition. Sure, they lost Ballard to the Colts. They lost Ryan Poles to the Chicago Bears in the offseason. Lose somebody in the front office to Carolina as well. Sure, they take their hits, but Brett Veach is still here. So the three-headed monsters we always talk about with the quarterback and receiver and running back, it's Mahomes, it's Reed, It's Spags, and I'll say it's actually a four-horse deal because then I'll add Brett Veach for that front office. It takes all of them, man. It's not just the players. It's not just the coaches. It's not just the front office. It's all of them, man. And that's what makes this team work. This is what makes this team go to 7 straight AFC title games. It's a team effort, what they do. And so far, they've done it well. But you add up all those things, the roster, love the draft, roster construction, the revenge on their mind. Put it this way, Mahomes loves golf. He was in the match twice. He hasn't played in the Reno Tahoe, the Celebrity Golf Classic, twice. 2 years in a row, he hadn't played in it. I've noticed a lot of these players cut down on commercials and everything else. It's focus, man. It's revenge. It's taking it out on your opponents. Everybody's talking up the Chargers. They're talking up the Broncos, putting the Chiefs sometimes second, sometimes third in the division. National talking heads, just like they do all year. And at the end of the year, the Chiefs just do what they do. They win it again, end up going to the big dance. So you're watching the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's been the biggest thing. That's been the biggest thing with this team. That's why I think this roster is better than years before, because of the experience they've got to the postseason. Nothing rattles them. There's nothing teams can do defensively that shakes Mahomes or Reed. They've seen it all. They make adjustments to it. So you put all those things, all those factors in there. Yeah, this is a better roster than it was last year, 100%. Coming up next, though, there's a guy on defense they drafted that I really, really like. He's getting a lot of good run up in St. Joe. Next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton producing the operation. When the Chiefs drafted Omar Norman Lott, fans were, kind of mixed about it. They looked around. You look at his starts and whatnot, because you won't see any from last year, right? I mean, he started before. He transferred in there from Arizona State, transferred in to Tennessee. But 6'2", 300 pounds, was in a rotation at Tennessee, six-man rotation that they used. He had the top pass rush win rate, 12.6% last year. Best win percentage rate, 18.9%. Any interior defensive lineman in college football, FBS last year was him. 27 pressures on just his 139 pass rush snaps. He only finished like 20th in defensive snaps for Tennessee. He was just better and maximized every single snap he was in there. It's like the perfect fit for what you're using him for. Rotation. Chiefs use the defensive line rotation, keeps guys fresh. They did basically the same thing at Tennessee, so be acclimated from that coming into the NFL. And, yeah, that stands out. Ashton Gelati, same thing, led the NCAA in quarterback pressures last year. Sack numbers were down, but he was getting to the quarterback and disrupting plays. He led the ACC in sacks 2 years ago. So you see why they're getting him. But Norman Lott's one of these guys, you'll know. He'll get there and go, wow, where's this been? You know, Chris Jones shows you as good as you can do it, rushing from the interior and the outside. Norman Lott's one of those guys that can get there from the interior. It's kind of what the Chiefs need. Norman Lott's one of those guys that he's got one of those motors you really like, didn't care about the rotation. Hey, kept him fresh, whatever. Guy could have been a starter, whatever. They didn't do that. It's just not what they did at Tennessee. They rotated guys in and out all the time because it was in the SEC. They got tired going against high-powered offenses. That's what they did. This is what Nate Taylor had to say about Omar Norman Lott so far and what's impressing him up at Chiefs training camp.
All business, has some dry humor to him. I'm already in love because they've really pushed him into the rotation with the starters. And it's like, hey, man, if you could just challenge Creed Humphrey, if you can just challenge, you know, Trey Smith, the best, two of the best interior, you know, offensive linemen in the league, then yeah, it shows that you're on a nice little track too, to maybe have a more sizable impact than we could have anticipated when they drafted him. So the fact that they've let Mike Pinnell just, you know, hey, Mike Pinnell's done this for a decade. I don't need to see him this mm-hmm. entire month. What I need to see is Omar Norman Lott really demonstrate just how quick, how powerful, some of the pass rushing moves he's starting to develop now, and the fact that, hey, this is the one player I think so far that Steve Spagnuolo says, okay, like, I want to see what we got, and you might play sooner than I'm normally playing rookie defensive tackles at this point in my career, how I run, you know, my system.
That's coming from Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, of course, the Chiefs writer and broadcaster, too, on ESPN and ESPN.com. His thoughts on Norman Lott getting reps, you know, in with the ones, get in there, getting in the rotation. Coming away impressed with him. It's one of those guys, when you get to St. Joe, you want to see him. I want to see him in the one-on-one drills. What can Lott do against some of the offensive linemen when he's in there? But, yeah, there was a lot of people that was getting a little fear on that at first. Well, they look at the start numbers and stuff like that without realizing that, you know, this is not exactly what he does. There's a reason why he didn't rack up the start numbers, because not what Tennessee did. So once you start figuring out all that, it changes. Omar Norman Lott himself spoke at training camp about getting those reps with the ones.
I mean, it's an honor. I just got to use them the right way. You know, I'm working on not messing up and just playing hard.
And here was Omar Norman Lott on his, if he's ever experienced anything like going against Creed Humphrey, who is the highest paid center, the best center in the National Football League. Good experience from Omar Norman Lott.
Nah. It was like, I'll tell you this, I think it was yesterday. We had a rep, and he was like running an outside zone play. I was trying to move with him, and I was like, damn, like mid-rep. I'm like, damn, this dude is, he's a brick wall. He's solid, and he's a great athlete.
So he's talking about Creed Humphrey there being that brick wall. And, of course, the only question we always have is the difference between the college and the pros. Because, again, when you get to the pros, it's about speed, it's about physicality, and it's about knowing your assignment. It's just much different. You don't have a grace period in the National Football League. It's put up or shut up now, and that's, I think, the biggest difference between the NFL and college. But this is what he has seen from being at Chiefs camp and when he was with Tennessee.
Probably just the level of physicality. I mean, we're kind of already moving. I play a position, me and the O-lineman and my teammates, we all play a position where we're in contact and engaged every play. So it kind of doesn't really make a difference, but it just gets more physical.
Gets more physical. Did you like the pick? Because I know Chris and I had actually mocked him, you know, a couple times that he was mocked. We actually liked the pick a lot.
I liked the pick at the time. I was under the impression he would be a redshirt because they had brought in Tillery. They had Mike Pinnell. They obviously have Chris Jones. And I felt like he will work into that rotation. I kind of thought he would kind of be like a Turk Wharton type. Like, it would take some time, but eventually he can turn into a player. Very early indications, and again, they're not in pads yet. They don't practice tomorrow, so it's very, very early. But early indications are he is exceeding what I believed he could be in year one, because I kind of viewed him as a redshirt player, which I had my frustration that they added a redshirt guy in the second round, but it sounds like he's not a redshirt guy.
Yeah, we've seen that before. Remember Tano Passanio? That was your redshirt guy. And we've seen other teams do it, but again, it's going to be a different look. Again, when you look at what the Chiefs did and through this draft, it's a lot of rotational pieces, man. It's like Rashard Davis will be rotation in that backfield. Jalen Royals be rotated in at wide receivers. I do think Noel Williams will get rotated in, but I think the guy could actually be a starter at some point for this team this season. Wouldn't maybe 6 weeks in the season he is. And Josh Simmons, wait and see, but clearly that's going to be a starter for this team. 4-year contract with a 5th-year option, you will see him. But there's some excitement. I know we talk a lot about the offense and the receivers and the left tackle battles, but there's some good things going on defense. I mean, there's great things with, you know, guys like Charles Omenihu that has a chance, came back for the Chiefs, probably for less money than when he wanted to or thought he could get on the market. He's going to be going out there to prove it that he can do damage to the quarterback, get that big money contract at one time in his life, last time, probably to get that. He's going to have that incentive to do that. You put up numbers, man. If you're with Chris Jones, you put up the numbers, man. Future Hall of Famer, best defensive tackle in the NFL. Hey, you're on that line, you put up numbers. I think Carl Loftus, who just got his deal with the Chiefs, which I didn't think saved the Chiefs money, to be honest with you, because I think he's going to have even more of a breakout year than he's already had, going from the 8 sacks. I think he at least gets 12, to be honest with you. He's left so many sacks on the field. So many times he's got there, disrupted. He gets to the quarterback, high pressure rate. He gets there, but sometimes his quarterback just gets away. I think even with 12 to 14 sacks, something like that, Carl Loftus would have been a lot more expensive than what they got George now as the 10th highest paid pass rusher in the NFL. These things change when you're on that defensive line with Carl Loftus. You got Omenihu out there trying to make his cash. You get the rotation, Omar Norman Lott. Defense is going to be fun. Keep in mind, no running back ran for 100 yards against the Chiefs all year. All year. None of them did it. Not even Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl. They didn't do it. Not 100 yards against the Chiefs. The only guy who had over 100 yards rushing against the Chiefs was quarterback for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. He had 122, but that was from the quarterback position. But he's damn good, and you all know that anyway. But that's it. And so I can see that. But I think the sack numbers, man, 18 sacks. 18th in sacks last year, tied with Buffalo. They were number 2 for 2 straight years when nobody talked about it. That was like a mystery. Everybody kept talking about the Eagles back in Super Bowl 57 and that vaunted pass rush they had, number 1 in the NFL. The Chiefs were number 2. And I don't know if they felt disrespected or not, but they were disrespected. They were disrespected the following year because they ended up number 2 in sacks that time as well. And Spags did it by magic. I mean, he would do it by blitzing guys that aren't blitzers, your middle linebackers, your Leo Chanel would come in there. Nick Bolton would get the quarterback, the safety blitzes, the corner blitzes that he would use. He just found a way to get it and do it and get the job done. And all of a sudden, you look at the end of the year and they're 2nd in sacks in the NFL. Then they slide all the way back to 18th. That's a big slide. That's why they a couple pass rushers in this particular draft. Anyway, it's about 5 o'clock in Kansas City. Coming up next, we play the hits.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.